Welcome to the Faction Podcast. We're back. I had a busy week, so this will be a double episode week, probably, so long as I edited both episodes this week. So welcome to the second episode for this week. Yay.
At the very least, we've got this week and next week. Yay.
Back to back.
Well, yeah, well, we're perpetually a week behind, which is a bit awkward given we're trying to do timely, like, weekly metagame updates and discussing the events from the past weekend.
Mm.
But that's all right. I'm sure people are here just to hear us talk nonsense anyway. No one comes here for actual strategic advice, I hope.
Wrong podcast.
You wanted the Arena Decklist podcast. You've clicked on the wrong link. Sorry.
Now that I'm here, don't worry. It's going to be all facts.
So to give us all that competitive, high-level competitive strategic insight, Tristan's here.
I don't know how you managed to say that with a serious face, but yes. Yeah. I'm here.
Lots of practice introducing Nath.
Wow. I'll take it. Still good.
No, so Tristan, you may remember from, I think you've been on, you were on one of the like mini interview episodes before the Faction Invitational? Is it an Invitational or Champ? Whatever the last event was. So Tristan's the newest Faction member.
That's right.
And this weekend played, this must have been your first like comp event with the team, right?
Yeah. First big comp event, yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah, so the Pioneer Iris... Oh my god, went a bit pirate there.
Yeah.
the leader, sir, tournament that was played, me hearties. We all in. That's a faction, we're a pirate group now. We can only play pirate-themed decks. And now on.
Pirate tribal only from here on out, guys. Anyone want a game of Commander with my pirate?
Tristan's been on the podcast for 2.5 minutes and already derailed it.
Yeah.
Hey, don't blame me.
No, definitely blaming you. Sorry, Tristan. That's how it works. You're the newest person on, so you get the blame.
Sweet.
But the Pioneer RCQ season is now underway here in Melbourne. After weeks of watching and reading about other events in other states and countries, we finally got to play our own. So we had, I think we ended up with 10 of us at Box Hill this weekend, which was super cool. Great to be in a competitive event again and see lots of people. Box Hill had 52 people turn up, and Bendigo had 53. Oh, okay.
The Robins.
53.
Insane.
Bendigo had 40, and Werribee had 16. So, you know, over 100 players playing Magic in Box Hill all at the same time because all these events overlapped. I feel like I picked the wrong event to go to and should have gone to Werribee, but...
It's a crazy amount of people.
It is. It's so cool. It's really cool to see. So awesome to have a big group there. I know we spent several days before that, like frantically organizing, like, right, so I'm lending you this and you're lending me that. And then, you know, I'm getting this off here and then this is coming via that person to me. And I know, Nath, you and I both turned up with cards for like 5 different people.
Yeah, I got there, 10, 15 minutes early and everyone was just frantically messaging me being like, hey, are you still coming? Yes.
Try 5 minutes, nah. 10, 15 minutes. Try 5 minutes before the event started.
I rounded up. Maybe I should have rounded down.
You had to wait for me to get changed.
With 90% of Kynan's deck.
Yes, more than 90%. And Brent's deck. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and yeah. So that was always fun. I love the pre-tournament, like frantically swapping cards and re-sleeving things. And like,
yeah, always fun.
Dogan was sitting there like sleeving his deck and reading his cards. Really awesome. Really awesome to see a lot of people there and a lot of people who, like, I know there's been a few of us who have played a lot of Pioneer online and have been testing a lot, but to see, like, Dogan and Brent, who I know hadn't done as much testing, come down and make the trip down and just, like, get to see them was really, really good.
I think the big thing for me is out of that 53, I only recognised maybe a handful of other people. A bunch of new people to the tournament scene. It'd be interesting to see if they followed up next week or if it was just a one-off thing. But having 53 where, you know, you don't recognize half the room like you used to at PPTQs is pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty cool, definitely. As for our individual results, I went 2-4 with humans. After dabbling with elementals and almost convincing myself to play elementals, I decided I didn't want to just auto-lose to blue-white control, so I went back to Esper humans. And I end up 2-4, which is almost worse than it sounds. Like, all of my losses were pretty close. you know, had a little bit of bad variants, few mistakes, and lost a lot of close games. So overall, still had a great time. But 2-4 is not the best result ever. Tristan, you did a little bit better than me playing Red White Heroic. How did you go?
I ended up going 4-2, which wasn't too bad. Pretty happy with it. But a couple of like untidy mistakes, I guess, like really cost it a few times. But apart from that, the loss against Green, Mono Green, was just absolutely terrible. But he played very well, so that's fair enough. And the one against Phoenix was also really, really close.
Yeah, I think that Heroic deck gives you so many options on every turn because all your spells are 1 or 2 mana. So you untap and have like 4 cards in hand and there's like a million different combinations of how you can sequence and play spells.
Yeah, the first 2 wins that I had were 2-0, 2-0 and just super comfortable. Like really, really comfortable. It was just, yeah, you had stuff, they didn't have stuff, and then you bashed in.
And Nath did the best of us all and actually made the top 8.
Yeah, 5-1. Unfortunately, wasn't able to ID in the Swiss, so I had to have a bit of a sweat in the last round. But yeah, got the win, made the top 8, won my first round and made the top 4, and lost a really close game against Blue-White. So, you know, props to that.
Yeah, awesome. So well done again. I have to admit, I didn't expect that event to be that big.
No.
I rocked up and was like, this is more people than I thought. I thought there'd be like 20 to 30.
Yeah, it was insane. It was an insane amount of people. The store was like actually bulging. It was it was great though.
Yeah, I gotta say, Box Hill, I wish the tables were just a little bit bigger. Because when you actually have to sit shoulder, like the tables are playmat width or slightly less, basically, when you're actually having to cram in. And they had a bunch of other events on as well. It wasn't just us there.
It's a very clutch Mahjong tournament that I was very upset not to get into, but I had more Magic to play.
Yeah, just ruined your day, really. Bloody Magic tournament went too long, didn't have time to play Mahjong. Did you know how to play Mahjong?
Yes.
I'm sure you would have crushed all of them. I think also it's really hard for stores, because I didn't think there'd be more than 20 to 30 people, so they probably also thought that, and so they had, like, if there were 30 people, it would have been
perfect,
nicely spaced. Yep. But with 50, it was just, like, a little bit squishy.
Yeah, even for a small fella.
In terms of the meta, obviously, I didn't go around and take exact deck numbers because I didn't feel like to. Also, because Box Hill, you can't walk between the rows of tables, really, so it's really hard to watch anything but the matches on the very end. But broadly, I saw a fair bit of, like, what you'd expect. Mono Green, Red Black, Phoenix, and Blue White Control.
Yep. I think there was one combo deck in the room.
I saw a Lotus, played against a Lotus, Blue Spirits, Phoenix, Mono Green. Yep.
Combo aside, I think it was a fairly accurate representation of the decks you could see at on a random Moto event, but I didn't see anything too far off the wall.
And then I know Bendigo Trent said Mono Red was the most represented deck, and shout out to Sahar who won that with Mono Red as well. Awesome to see. I love, this is part of the PPTQ or now RCQ thing that I love, is like hearing who wins the events and knowing who they are and like feeling good for them is really cool. Even if it's like not someone you're super close to, like getting to cheer on your friends is always really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really nice. That's a really lovely attitude to have.
Tristan, on the other hand, are you just cutthroat? You're like, well, I didn't win, so.
Oh, nah, I don't, to be honest, like I was like fucking rap with a 4-2.
4-2 is good.
Like to, you know, for it to be a chance in like the top 8, normally I would have bloody left. Like halfway through, I would have been like, ah, fuck it. You know, it's what, 3-2, not going to be in for a win. So we'll just bounce. And it was like the people there were really nice. It was a really good scene. One of the Mono Green players, when he fought against my thing, I thought the bloody first strike and double strike kicked off, but it didn't at all. And he's like, oh, no, I'm pretty sure it doesn't. I'm like, what? That sucks. I'm like, can I get a judge? Not because I don't believe you, but I just want to hear it. Yeah. And like the judge is like, yeah, no, it doesn't. I'm like, what the fuck's the point of it then? What is it? Dead touch work? This is some garbage. And like, it was against, he dropped in the Hydra to fight my 1-1 double strike bloke. And I had like slammed it on the table turn 2 because I'm like, yeah, you're not going to have removal. And he just slammed that down. He's like, they fight and it dies. I'm like, this sucks. You're mono green.
Yep. That's the 1 or 2 of Voracious Hydra.
Yeah, that'll get you. Oh.
yeah, so overall, really enjoyable event. Really had a great time. And looking forward to next weekend. I wish there was one on Sunday. Like, I woke up at 7 a.m. to play the Moto Challenge the next day because I was like, I just want to play more Magic. I wish there was another event. So we'll get to that later, but there are 4 events next week, and there is, like, on both days. So that's good. In terms of the meta, more quantifiably, so the Moto meta in this case, which I know traditionally we usually think of it as like a week or two ahead of the online meta, but it remains to be seen how much the paper meta will shift, because I know for us, for example, it's, we have access to a pretty large network of people we can borrow cards off of, and it's, so we can sort of switch decks a little bit if we want, but for a lot of people, obviously they own Monogreen, so they're going to play Monogreen.
Yeah, I've actually got, like, there was a bloke that I played against Monogreen the first time I went to POG. He was actually on the red-black Rakdos mid-range train.
Yeah, I think so too.
So there's, I think they're from Bendigo, maybe? I think they're, like, out fair bit, but I think those guys are pretty keen.
Hmm, okay. Yeah, so there's a little bit of change. The Moto meta, so over the two challenges that we had, the top 32s there, Monogreen is now... was the most played deck. So 10 Monogreen, 7 Red White Heroic, actually, 6 Phoenix, 6 Mono White Humans, 5 Blue White Control, and only 3 Rakdos mid range. So Rakdos really falling off a cliff. It's funny, my notes for last week said Rakdos is everywhere. My notes for this week say Rakdos is nowhere.
Okay, that's interesting.
Is that online or is that where we play?
Online.
Online, yes. That's the online challenges, the two big Magic Online challenges. And it's interesting because I think Monogreen is slightly favored against Rakdos, is my impression of that. Nathan's played a lot more, and it depends a bit on the sideboard, but overall I'd say it's favored for Monogreen. So maybe that's in response to all of the red-black rising up. It's just more people leaning on Monogreen, and then we see, it's funny, like Heroic is like the next step in that metagame cycle, is Monogreen picks up, so then Heroic picks up to beat Monogreen. And Phoenix just continues to be good.
Yeah, Phoenix just kind of sits off to the side and does the thing. it's really funny because I think that there may have only been 3, maybe 4 red-black decks in the room at Box Hill, but 3 of those 8 made the 3 of those made the top 8. So I don't know.
I think it's a good deck. I think also at RCQs it's interesting because it, red-black is very decision dense, and like, I think it's the typical like mid-range deck where you think you can probably maximize your experience a bit more because you are constantly having to make difficult decisions. The other thing we had over the weekend was the Mox Showcase qualifier. So this is a 32 person event?
Something like that, small, yeah.
It's something like that. It's small. You had to have already won like an event to qualify for it. So it's a lot of really good players. And we see like the lack of red-black again. So only one person played Rakdos mid-range, and we had 6 Monogreen Devotion, 5 Blue-White Control, 5 Blue-Red Phoenix as the top decks. I think it was taken down in the end by Monogreen beating Blue-White in the finals, from memory. So, but again, they all in a small field, looks like, where you know everyone is good, looked around and said, I don't want to play red-black because I don't think people are going to play the decks that red-black beats, and I think too many people will be on the next level up and play Monogreen.
Yep.
But overall, like, this is the 3rd or 4th week in a row we've said the meta changed and something else is on top, which I think is really, really good. It's a sign of a really healthy format.
Yeah, 100%.
Fully own the fact that when I called for a Nykthos ban, I was wrong. Your Kalidas ban, though? Maybe we'll see. So that's sort of a wrap-up of the last week. I know last week we talked about... I rambled for a while about why I enjoyed Magic, but... I sort of wanted to add on to that now, having played in paper and so much of Magic, and I think I'd almost forgotten this, like, because we played a few small events, right? A few local monthlies and that kind of thing, but this is the first event I've played in with more than, well, actually, there's been a couple of big Highlander events I've played as well, but just the feeling of having, like, as I say, we had 10 people there was just awesome to be around all these people, and just, like, checking in between rounds, catching up with people was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was bloody, It was really nice, actually. It was really, really nice. As someone that wasn't always a fan of the big events, actually had a really great time.
Yeah, that's awesome. The other thing I've remembered in the way I enjoy playing Magic is I'd forgotten how much fun it is to play a Moto League and have people birding you and just, like, talking shit the whole time, which I did last night. I played a league with Kynan and Trent, both, like, birding, and we're chatting through lines and are, like, discussing plays, but there's also just a lot of, like, I laughed so much. I was a bit concerned I was keeping the other people in my house up awake with how loud I was laughing.
Yeah, it's always more fun when you got people around. Especially Moto can get a bit lonely sometimes. So it's always nice to have people to bounce ideas off or mostly just give you crap when you do something wrong.
Mostly that, yeah. People to share in your highs of look at this sick play and also the lows of whoops, I've clicked through attacks again.
Oh, that's awesome.
So Tristan, what about you? Why do you play Magic?
Cash, money, and hoes, baby. That's how we go.
Alright.
No, sorry.
Alright, well, thank you for listening.
Sorry, man. It's been a long No. I think what got me back is, honestly, I think it's the group. The group's just like fantastic. It's a good little hobby to have on the side and, you know, try and put in a little bit more effort than I used to, which has been really nice. And just play it for the lols.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's a good reason. Get out of the house, do something different.
Yeah.
Quickly, they sell airtime. This is brought to you by Pop. Plenty of games in the city. Make sure that you follow our Twitch Premium and Gibbo's OnlyFans.
Yeah, we'll leave that in.
that's staying in.
No, that's not saving. Gibble will ban me from the store again.
Again.
Pog's been open for like 2 months. How can you have already been banned?
Yeah.
We got banned on the first night.
We're talking about Nathan. Nathan, how'd you go on the top four?
I had to play against Blue White, and I skillfully drew better than my opponent did, I think, in the third game. What did I get to do? I got to ultimate a Chandra and then just managed to ride out that trigger to victory. That was a lot of fun. I think the deck weirdly might be favored against Blue White, which I didn't expect. But Ian and I were talking earlier. I think Blood Tithe Harvest is just like low key amazing.
Yeah, so we should clarify, Nath was playing red-black. I don't know if we mentioned that.
I don't think we mentioned that. Surprise!
Nath tried to palm red-black off on Kynum because he wanted to play Abzan Gracefang and got stuck with red-black and then top eight. Similarly, Shane didn't have a deck, so I handed him like an Esper Gracefang deck with like kind of dodgy mana, and he almost top eighted.
Yeah, it was like 3-0, yeah. I think, at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't find the best mana base for him, so he was just playing a bad mana base and just winning.
Didn't matter.
All right.
Didn't matter. Even with Dan calling him out for trying to cheat, didn't matter.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
To be clear, Shane didn't actually try and cheat. He just tried to duress himself, which you're not allowed to do. It says target opponent.
He figured it out eventually.
Yeah. So that has led me to experimenting with Gracefang a bunch over the last few days. I've played a lot of really bad, unplayable Gracefang decks recently. But we'll see what I end up playing next week. Last week, when we recorded, I was convinced I was going to play Elementals. And then 2 days later, I decided that was a terrible idea. So I didn't do it.
So you're like 100% to play humans again then? That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to spend all week trying different Gracefang decks. I'm going to come this close to ordering all the cards. I will have organized to borrow cards off everyone. And then the night before, I'm going to be like, oh, I've got humans sleeved up.
Yeah, I'm sick.
Why don't you play White Weenies?
Yeah, that deck looks pretty good too.
Yeah, I honestly haven't really seen that much of the mono white deck.
It's everywhere on Moto at the moment.
Yeah, didn't you play against it like 3 times or something?
I played against it, I think, 7 times across 2 leagues and 1 extra league. The first round in the next league. It was, yeah, insane. Which was good because I was on Gracefang and white just can't beat it. So it's good for my win rate ratio.
Good matchup, yeah.
Or maybe don't play it then.
There's not that much Gracefang, I think, in Melbourne, but you never know. Next week.
Yeah, I think there was maybe 2 in Box Hill. Kynan, I think there was 1 other.
Yeah, I think there was 1. I think there was 1 other, yeah.
Kynan and Shane and 1 other, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gracefang's really good. I think it's really interesting all the different like types of decks it slots into, where like Abzan is very all in on Gracefang, but it has a lot of ways to remove, like, Hearse or Rest in Peace. Whereas, like, Esper is basically a control deck, but doesn't really have a backup plan either. Like, it's just Ledger Shredder beats. And then Mardu is somewhere in the middle where it's kind of, like, a bad version of Rakdos midrange, but sometimes you get to turn 3 people.
Yep.
Pine is a real fun format.
Absinthe's good because you get that mystical turn two Parhelion if you hit the nuts. So I did that once. It was really good.
If you are super lucky.
Just like me.
Yeah. That is cool, but also not a reliable gameplay.
I just mulled a three. You'll get it.
The thing I worry about with Abzan is, like, it's so graveyard reliant.
Yep.
Like, I was playing versions with Traverse. I actually have been brewing a version, a four-color version, with no blue, with, like, so you can play Bloodtithe Harvester and Sate Wayfinder, and then you can play, we were playing, like, a couple Traverses and an Emrakul, like, the Promised End.
Oh, yeah.
Really sick.
It's going deep.
But the problem is, like, you're so cold to a rest in peace.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah. I also bounce wildly between a Seeker's Chariot being incredible and garbage.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, this is amazing. Like, you play against red-black, and it's just, like, it 3-for-1s them. And then you play against, like, I don't know, Monogreen or something, and they're like, okay, you have some cats. I'm going to kill you now.
Yeah.
Block.
Yeah, I'll block with it. Cool.
I'll block with my Cavalier. And you're like, damn it.
Hey, what do you guys think of a cheeky Brave the Elements in Heroic, in, yeah, Boros?
It only protects your white creatures. It doesn't protect your red creatures.
Which, to be fair, is everything except Swissphere and, like, Arcanist.
Yeah. And, like, a lot of the decks aren't running Arcanist.
The thing is, you already have, like, 4 God's Willing and 1 or 2 Sajiri Shelter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you need to go that deep.
I don't think you need it. But it is, like, I think Brave the Elements is, like, the appeal of the mono-white humans deck, basically.
100%. Yep.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's super consistent and it just kills people with Brave the Elements.
Yeah, give everything unblockable is pretty good.
They've got a lot of more creatures as well, eh?
They got, yeah, way more creatures. Yep.
Yep. Adelaine is a hell of a card. That thing kills people.
Yeah, it's a big girl.
That was my favorite part of playing humans was curving Adelaine into Whirlerogue.
Oh, yeah.
Unblockable attack for a lot.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Yep, that'll do it.
Yep. So, overall, good weekend. Really good to be back playing Paper Magic. Looking forward to the next 3 weekends. Basically, I think I'm going to end up playing 2 tournaments a weekend, basically, for the next 3 weeks. Close to.
Oof.
Might not be driving to... Oh, where's the last one? It's like a 4-hour drive.
That's quite far.
How long does the season go for? A
couple of months, and then there'll be another season that runs off it straight again.
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the thing is, Tristan, once you get into this, the season never truly ends, because it ends, but there's no such thing as an off-season. We just start another season, so you're hooked forever.
Yeah, nah, it's really dangerous that Nathan's, like, invited me in, and then, like, you do, like, reasonably okay, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I could do this, and then you're like, well, I'm getting married soon, so I don't know if Shana will be keen on me taking time off from my honeymoon. Maybe there's a tournament in Tasmania. I'll go qualify there.
Yep.
How's your honeymoon? It was the best.
I qualified.
Made top 8.
Hell yeah, that'd be funny.
Well... We'll see. I know Pog recently announced their RCQ in mid-September, which will be good.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. Home turf.
Yeah.
Run that Pog ad again from Tristan.
Yo, this podcast is sponsored by Pog. Get your trading cards, your dice, your playmats. Have fun with your friends at Pog. Boom. There you go.
Somehow that one's even better. I love that.
Oh, we can keep going all day. We can just keep ad-libbing. Pog, 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 pog. Cards, 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 cards. Trent.
So this week we have the Saturday, there's 3 events. There's Greensboro. There is Ballarat, and Dandenong is hosting a modern event. And then on Sunday, we've got Temple Arden, so in North Melbourne. So I think my plan is to play Greensboro and North Melbourne. And we'll hopefully... I know Greensboro's nearby a lot of the faction guys, so hopefully we'll get a decent number there for that.
Should do. I'm planning on playing as well. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe run it back.
Yeah, so Nathan, you're planning to run back red-black?
Yeah, I felt insane on the weekend. The only game I lost, I think I could have got a third game if I didn't just... punt the whole game away, so yeah, no complaints there.
Yep, fair enough. Tristan, you're sticking with Heroic?
Yeah, definitely. Because, like, as you guys were saying, there wasn't as much red-black, but the matchup's not the best. I'll have to have a look about the Dread Hordes and the Vanguards, because your Vanguards are like really main board if you think you're going to play against a lot of red-black. If you're not, if you think you're going to be playing against a lot of green, you want the Dreadhorde.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Yep, fair enough. And I don't know what I'm going to be playing, I could tell you, but, you know, what's the chances I end up actually playing that based on last week?
Definitely going to be something.
I'm going to play Elementals. Definitely Elementals. this is, I'm just messing with all the people who listen to this podcast to try and, you know, do some scouting. Yep. I'm on to you, and just not playing that game, you know?
Yeah, I might turn up and play Black Red. Got him.
Yeah, I'm going to rock up and play Gates.
I mean,
Force Gates, that's gas.
It's a real deck.
Is it?
Not.
Yeah, it is. Fuck, it is.
I'm just going to rock up and like switch my deck box with Nath's.
That'd be funny. Now just, I'm playing Elementals.
It just draws. It's just 60 planes.
Oh, got him.
I wouldn't do that to Nath. That'd at least be 60 islands.
Better.
All right, well, thank you for listening to the Vaction Podcast this week. Nath, Tristan, thank you both for coming on and having a chat to me.
Of course.
Pleasure, anytime.
We'll be back next week, hopefully with Narsic U winner, if one of us can actually win. But otherwise, we'll be stuck with Nath again.
Yikes.
All right. sign us off, Nath.
Bye, Kyle.